Okay, we'll have the children come forward for a short children's message. Is there anything that makes us look different? What do you think? Your hair? Yeah, I see some people with different color hair. Blonde hair, brown hair. What else is different?
Length.
Yeah?
The length of hair.
Yeah, length of hair. That's right. Different hairstyles.
Some people are taller, some are smaller.
Yeah, taller and shorter. Yeah.
Eye color.
Eye color, yeah, that's right. You guys know your eye color?
Brown.
Okay, alright. Good, yeah.
Skin color.
The what?
Skin color.
Oh, skin color, yeah. Different shades of color.
Maybe different stuff.
Yeah, you got different clothes on, right? Yeah, a lot of different clothes. It'd be kind of boring if we're all wearing the same clothes, right? I don't know. Well, what do you think? Is this what gives us value because we have brown hair and a black shirt on? Is that what gives us value? I don't know. That would be pretty tough, right? If you're like, oh, I don't have value unless I'm wearing the right clothes or have the right hairstyle, the right color eyes. That would be kind of tough, right? It'd be kind of sad, because what if you don't have the right clothes on, right? If you're not the right height or don't weigh enough? That's not what gives us our value, right? No. So I'm going to read a passage from the Bible that tells us about how we have value. I want you to see if you can hear what God says gives us value, all right? What does he do to us? There's three things. But now thus says the Lord, it's Isaiah 43, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Do you catch what God does to us? He gives us value.
He redeemed us.
He redeemed us, yep. Good, got one of them. He created us, yeah, one more.
He made us different.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
He formed us.
Yeah. He created and formed us, and he redeemed us, and he. What was the last one? What do you do with the phone?
He called us by name.
He called us by name. That's right. You're created and redeemed and called by God into a relationship with him forever. So that's how you know you have value. You have eternal value. So much that God was willing to die for us and suffer for all of our sins on the cross. That's how much value you have in God's eyes. Isn't that incredible? So I have a little coloring sheet for you to remind yourselves about this, right? So on the front we have that we are created by God, right? And he began the world in 6 days. In the back we have we are what?
Cross.
You're redeemed at a cross. That's right. Picture of the cross, and it's empty because Jesus rose from the dead. And then we're called. Where are we called?
Fine.
What's this? Is it water in it? When you're little.
A baby.
Yeah, babies are brought there to do what?
To be baptized.
Yeah, baptized. God's splashed you with water and marked you as his child forever, his eternally valued son and daughter. Alright, so I'm going to give you one of those for you to color, maybe put on your walls to remind you of the value you have in God's eyes. Alright, so let's pray with me, okay? Dear Jesus,
thank you
for giving us eternal value.
Through
creating,
redeeming,
and calling us
to you.
To you. We love you.
We love you.
Amen.
Amen.
All right. You can grab one of these. Message today comes from Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I consecrated you, and I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. Let's pray. Lord God, we know how easy it is to try to build ourselves up to create a value for ourselves, and how easy it is to judge other people by what they look like, by what they've said, or by what they've done, in order to give them value instead of simply knowing and giving them value because you do. And Lord, we pray that today you would free us from this condition, this enslaving and exhausting condition of trying to determine value that you have already given. We pray that we would just be able to rejoice in the value that you have given to us and that cannot be taken away. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable and pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So it's Life Sunday. We can get into a lot of different issues on Life Sunday, right? There's a lot of different controversial issues now in our culture. As far as even the beginnings of life, right? You have the stem cell research. You have things like artificial insemination, in vitro fertilization. You have different ways of having pregnancies, surrogate moms, you have adoption, you have, of course, abortion, which we're talking about today. You have other things about while you're in your stages of life. After you come out of the womb, there's issues with identity, there's issues with homosexuality, there's issues with my value. And there's issues at the end of life as far as, well, do I pull a plug? Do I take away the feeding tube? Do I, how am I supposed to treat, you know, these tough decisions that I'm handed with? And we obviously don't have enough time to address each one of those. And sometimes it can feel kind of complicated when you look at it at all. So what do? We need to go back to the basics. To what God simply says about life and how God gives life value. Because if we go from the other way, we're just going to end up using our own knowledge and strength and end up getting confused, end up being swayed easily by our own thoughts and experiences. But see, when we begin with God, everything else begins to make sense. And what does God say? He says, simply says that we have value because we're created, redeemed, and called into eternal relationship with Him. So that's why we see, even in the prophet Jeremiah, he says, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Not only did he knit Jeremiah together in his womb, as it says in Psalm 139, but before he was even conceived, before he was even there, God knew Jeremiah. Praise God. It says in Psalm 139, before even one of my days came to be, you knew them all. They were all written in your book. That's how much God knows us. And how much God was intentionally, purposefully creating us. even to the imagery of knitting us together, shaping us in the womb, just the way He wanted us to be. And see, God is calling Jeremiah at a difficult time. The time when Judah would be incredibly idolatrous, pursue and worship other things other than the true God, right? They'd run to immorality and violence and oppression of the poor and weak. And their priests or pastors would be encouraging them to do these things instead of telling them to repent, right? So they had forgotten God in many ways, and they didn't want to hear the true prophets of the Lord, right? And Jeremiah would be known as a weeping prophet. You read the book of Jeremiah. Anybody done that? Read through the book of Jeremiah. It's 52 chapters. Or is it 53? 52 or 53. Long book. But it's a difficult ministry that Jeremiah will go into. He's got to speak to these people of really hard hearts and don't want to listen to what God really says, right? And so he'll be persecuted, he'll be treated poorly, he'll be treated like dirt, so he'll even be thrown in a cistern one day to this pit full of mud just to leave him there. People will call him stupid and foolish and silly and all sorts of things. They'll try to destroy his value because of what he's doing and what he's saying. Which is, find your value in the right thing, in your relationship with God. That's why you're having so much difficulty right now as a nation, as a people of God, because they went away from that value and that importance of a relationship with Him. Because if we notice, if we look at Jeremiah, it says he's not just sent to the nation of Israel or Judah, he's sent to the nations. In verse 10, I have set you this day over nations and kingdoms to pluck up and break down, to destroy and overthrow, to build and to plant. See, God doesn't just set us to our own Christian community. He sets us as witnesses to the world to proclaim His truth and His gospel and His message of life. As you can see, sometimes that involves plucking up and breaking down those false ideas, those false beliefs, those destructive behaviors that would only hurt us and draw us away from God. Why does God do that? So that He can build us up in the truth and plant us securely in Him. Well, as you can imagine, Jeremiah had concerns, right? Kind of reminds us of our story of Moses, when God calls Moses to go to Pharaoh, tell his people to be free. You know, let my people go. Moses says, I don't know. You got the wrong guy, right? I don't know what to say. I'm slow of speech. I'll mess up. I'm afraid. What's this God do? He says, don't be afraid because I am with you. And I will give you the words. And he even sends his friend Aaron, his brother Aaron, to come help him, right? That's the same thing he says to Jeremiah. Don't say I'm too young or that you don't know how to speak. Or that you're afraid. Because, verse 8, I am with you to deliver you. And he literally puts his words in Jeremiah's mouth. See, what I want us to think about today is how we are witnesses of that life, of that message of life. Just like Jeremiah, we're sent to a culture that's very anti-life. It's looking for it in all the wrong places. It's devaluing life, even under the guise of valuing life, calling an abortion a woman's right to choose rather than for what it really is, to take a life. People are shaming those people who have done those things instead of hearing the forgiveness and redemption that is in Jesus Christ. People trying to devalue our lives when we will speak the truth. And when we'll tell them about life that's only found in Jesus, they'll try to devalue us. Try to take away our identity. Tell us we're getting into the wrong places. They might treat us very poorly. Probably won't get thrown into a pit, but who knows? They might say or do to us, right? If we decide to take a stand for the truth, we can sit back. We could be, Jeremiah could have said, all right, you're with me. You give me the words, but I'm just not going to do it. It's not what he said. I will go because you are with me. I'm your witness. I'm your servant. Jeremiah still knew who he was and whose he was, even in the midst of his difficult ministry to a culture that was literally dying, separating themselves from God. So we need to be reminded about our value as we go out to proclaim their value. As we go out to tell people where life is really found and how God values our lives. It's not only did he create us and knit us in the womb fearfully and wonderfully. You see, when we fell into sin with Adam and Eve and fell into corruption and fell into death, right? It's ultimately what came into the world. God cared about our value and our lives so much. He was willing to take each and every one of our sins to the cross and allowed himself to be torn down, allowed his own body to be destroyed, allowed himself to become this tiny embryo in a womb of a human so that he could fulfill that righteousness for us and take our sins instead to the cross. See, when we say we're redeemed, we know the price of that redemption. The redemption that cost the very precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who was without sin, who was innocent, who could have chose to ignore us, who could have said, you know what, you don't have value because you're such sinners. You keep turning against me. That's not what he did. Because God is a God of love, steadfast love. All those words in 1 Corinthians 13 that we often fail to do, God always does. So that's why he came down for us. Because we hold that much value to him. He would go through whatever it took to redeem us. So we know we're not only created and redeemed, but called into relationship with him. So you can say you have triple value in God's eyes. And everybody else in the world, we know God created each one of them. God died on the cross for each one of them. And they are each someone whom God has called into relationship with him, or is calling into relationship with him. And this is what empowers us, and this is what frees us to go out into the world, into our culture that would devalue life, the culture that literally is dead in their sins, and
thinking they can find the answer apart from God. As sometimes we do as well. But you see, God's not dead. He's not still in the tomb. He rose again, and he's working his redemption and his message of the gospel of eternal life and value in him, even today. We do this in many ways. One of those ways we'll hear about today with New Life Family Services in Rochester. Such a wonderful blessing to have a pregnancy clinic in our area that we can turn people to. So we don't have to say, oh, I'm sorry, you just have an unwanted pregnancy. I guess you're on your own. No, God's provided a way for us to bring them out of that. Not only a place to be cared for, but a place to learn about the love of Christ. And so we don't have to think about, oh God, should I pray about if you want me to speak for life or to defend life? Sometimes we get caught up in the prayer. We know God values this. He's placed it before us. So it's not if we should do something, it's, Lord, what do you want me to do? How much do you want me to give? So we'll have the opportunity to help out a New Life. And it's amazing what God does when we're obedient to him. 94% of people, they say, who have an ultrasound, choose to have the baby. 94%. And just in this last year alone, New Life saved 475 lives. 475 lives who God created, redeemed, and called. That's why we're willing to stand up for that. We're willing to stand up for those people who don't have a voice, who can't defend themselves. Because that's what God does for us. He comes to our defense. When our value seems to be taken away from us because of our sin and our guilt and our shame, God comes to our defense and says, through his son Jesus, I died for you. I took that sin. And that's not who you are. And I made you alive. In the same way we stand up for those who can't speak for themselves. We see them in the same way that God sees them. They have eternal value. Even before they come out of the womb. A beautiful example of this is our showing value to the ones who you think have value. Comes in our gospel reading. We often think as value the strong, the rich, the powerful, the famous, the healthy. Who does Jesus go to? He goes to the weak, the sick, the suffering. Those people you would say would just be a burden. He goes to them and he heals every single one of them. To proclaim them the message of the kingdom of God. That we are no longer in bondage to sin and death and the devil. But now I have come as the Son of God in the flesh to set you free. To give you life under me. The inheritance of my kingdom that will never be uprooted or destroy, or pass away. So just like Jeremiah, we don't need to be afraid. We don't need to fear. Because Jesus promises to us who we are and what he has done for us. He promises to us that he's with us, and that he will deliver us from evil and bring us safely to this heavenly king. It's his name we pray. Amen. And the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, will guard and keep our hearts and minds firmly in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Continue our worship on page 207 with the words of the Apostles' Creed. To confess our faith, you please rise.